Hello and welcome to a special edition of the Game Informer Show. I'm your host, Ben Hansen. This is a special edition of our podcast. If you're watching this on YouTube, it's also available as an audio podcast if you subscribe to the Game Informer Show on iTunes or Google Play. What this is it's not a regular episode, which we have every Thursday. This is an extra episode where we're going to be interviewing Corey Barlog, the creative director for the new God of War on the PlayStation 4. And we've been doing a whole month of coverage. We hope you guys have learned a lot from it. So we had the community ask specific questions that Corey should answer. A lot of questions were asked. We appreciate everybody that submitted questions. If I don't ask your question, we probably answered it somewhere else, either in the Game Informer cover story or throughout our month of coverage. So be sure to look around. There's more answers to be found there. But without further ado, here's Corey Barlog. Corey Barlog, welcome to the Game Informer Show, sir.
Thank you for having me.
It's a real honor to have you. It's been a fun month. Been rolling out a lot about God of War. I hope you've enjoyed some of the coverage on your end. Do you sit back and watch the videos or read the articles, anything like that?
Yeah, absolutely. I, in fact, even read the comments, which, you know, I'm told I shouldn't do that, but I feel like it's a little bit like that box in Dune. I just keep sticking my hand in no matter how many times it gets burned down to the bone.
It's got to be a relief once you can finally say the release date, and then it just wipes out 90% of the comments saying, F you, Corey, just say the release date.
Yes, nobody's asking me about the release date. They've moved on to many other things.
So. Awesome. Well, we got a bunch of questions here, so we can dive right into it. Nuke Cat has an interesting question here. Will Kratos admit that he was the real villain in the Greasemith era?
Who is this, Nuke Cat or Newt Cat?
Different. It's a Nuke Cat. Do you see it that way? Do you see Kratos as a bit of a villain in the Greek era?
I would say, yeah. I mean, he was kind of the anti-hero throughout the entirety of the Greek era. And I wouldn't necessarily say that he's solely cast as the villain, but he's not a great guy. He's in the process of trying to reform.
Okay. And Rockin' Reviews has a question in a similar vein. He says, what would you say is the biggest lesson Kratos has learned since the Greek era? So, like, from the Greek era to the start of this game, even, has he grown? What do you say is the biggest lesson he's learned?
I say the lesson that he's trying to learn right now is that blaming other people for your problems isn't going to help solve your problems. And awesome. I think he spent a great portion of his life blaming other people and the actions of other people as being the thing that is the sort of source of his bad times in his life.
And now there's just no one left to blame because he's killed every single god?
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Yeah, he sort of, I know a lot of people keep asking about, like, you know, did he destroy the world at the end of 3? I'm going to jump ahead. Perhaps there's a question just like this.
Good guess.
And as I've told people before, like, the mythological belief systems are, you know, sort of cultural stories of the upbringing of each of these cultures that exist since the beginning of time all over the planet. So the Greek world, in which they believe is the entire world to them, was what he sort of brought down, the pantheon of Greek gods. But simultaneously, there are several other pantheons of various belief systems at various stages of development all over the globe. So he definitely didn't destroy the world, but he brought down that sort of polytheistic belief system.
Gotcha. Boxcar 182, an interesting name.
Boxcar 182, nice.
Yeah. I was wondering, will the game tug on the heartstrings? Simple question.
Yeah. I am very close to the game, so I find that it affects me a lot more than any game that I've worked on. You know, part of it is probably exhaustion that is just making me even more weepy each day. But actually, yeah, I do believe that we're going to try to connects to an emotion greater than rage.
There's something, that last trailer really got me. And I think it's just hearing Atreus scream. Like any kid on the verge of puberty screaming. Like just the lines in that trailer really struck a chord. So I'd imagine if you can sustain that throughout the course of it. I don't know. I think it's just probably as simple as like hearing somebody that young just being that stressed out, in pain. I mean, it's a very primal thing, I'd imagine. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, it is pulled from so many different aspects of both my life, the writer's life, and even people from the team who shared stories with us. So as much as we can, we try to make these moments feel true. So it's interesting to see that different moments resonate stronger with different people. And I think part of it is just, you know, it's capturing that moment of truth in their own life.
Yeah. that Tom was like, is wondering if there are going to be any narrative branches in the game. Would there be any big choices along the way?
It's not really like a branching story in the sense of like a Mass Effect or Knights of the Old Republic or anything like that. But you know, your choices within the gameplay are extremely meaningful. The story that we're telling kind of has a very specific path in which you follow.
Okay. Backspacer is wondering, what went into the decision to giving Kratos a son and not a daughter? Were there any specific ideas or themes that fueled that decision?
The genetic lottery. I had a son instead of a daughter. I think it really just honestly was pulled directly from my life. I think if I had a daughter, Kratos probably would have. I would have been fighting for that simply because from a writing perspective, there's just so much that I'm pulling from my own experiences in the first 5 years of my kid's life.
Yeah. Ashone 109 is just wondering if you can shed any light on what Kratos' reaction was when Atreus was born.
We actually go into this in the game.
Okay.
So I'll leave it at that. I think that's a good thing to find out in the game.
I got some dorky etymology questions for you real quick.
Okay.
I take it it's important that Atreus is a Greek name, right? That's a factor in the game.
Yeah, I mean, this is a little bit pulled from my own life again, is that, you know, when you're having a kid, there's a lot of discussions about sort of names. And I think each of you in the relationship bring a different perspective and what you would want to name your kid. So this story actually gets, we go into this into the game of kind of where it comes from. I can't say that, you know, Kratos is not the type of guy who's going to name his kid after a god.
Right. Okay. And this is also just a dorky etymology question, but the axe's name is Leviathan. And Leviathan is a name from the Bible. Have you guys taken that into consideration that it crosses over into kind of Jewish mythology?
It's a name that I think for us is carrying throughout history. So
okay.
That it might have some intersections with later parts of history, perhaps.
Interesting. Okay. Dobby is wondering if, maybe not these people specifically, but they're wondering, are we going to see Loki or Thor before the launch of the game? You know, how much do you want to keep any sort of aspect of the gods for this game under wraps before the game launches?
Yeah, me personally, as both a creative and a consumer, I like to try to keep all the information as close as possible. I'm definitely an advocate of really not doing overly expansive trailers. Well, it may seem in the last story trailer that we actually gave a lot away. We really did it. We kind of gave the bare bones of what we wanted to tell people, but I'm trying as hard as possible to reserve the experience for the first time. We've had a lot of feedback as we've been playtesting the game and had various other people come and play the game. And their kind of reaction to the game having not been prepped with anything is a lot stronger than when we give them too much information to begin with. So, yeah, I'm going to be as close to the vest as I can.
Yeah, you guys have done a good job so far. It's just crazy watching trailers again. There's so much that you see but just have zero context for. And I feel like you're, so far, you're walking that line pretty well.
Well, I like to drop in secrets and hints, whether they be in the dialogue, the visuals. I mean, the sand art performance from Joe Castillo at E3, that was pretty much telling the story of the mother before we ever told the story of the mother. So we drop a lot of little hints if you pay attention.
Okay.
Sometimes really big hints.
Like in the background of a Skype interview. Nerdfather is wondering, since the game has been reported to be between 25 and 30 hours long, how are you going to keep the game from becoming repetitive?
By not making it repetitive.
Is that a challenge?
No, we put a lot of effort into this thing. We didn't make a long game to make a long game. So it wasn't like, you know what we're going to do? We're setting out to make 25 to 30 hours. I'm not kidding, but it was sort of an accident. And I feel like a lot of people who work in games share that same sentiment. We always believe it's going to be shorter than it ends up being. But everything that we've done in the game, from the sort of main narrative to the world that you explore and all the little sort of character interactions and stories that you find, we put a tremendous amount of effort from everybody on the team to make it feel like there's never really a difference between those. It really does feel like a world that you're exploring and discovering, and you're feeling enriched and sort of gratified for doing it.
Yeah. Hey, is there anything you want to clear up from the rapid fire interview we did earlier in the month, which was a lot of fun? Thanks again for doing that. But in terms of your answer about how much time you spend in a boat in God of War, you said 25 to 30%. Is there anything you want to clear up there?
Yeah, I mean, we're spending 100% of the time in the boat now. It's all, like I said, it's all boat. We're not just gonna double down. We're gonna quadruple down.
Damn it, Corey! Is it an accurate percentage? 30%.
No. Yeah, I mean, I did say that I was not sure that it was really 25 to 35%, or 20 to 30%, because the surface area, right? Because there's a lot of water. But the boat is not one of those things where it's like you must spend all your time in the boat. It's just an interesting way to break up traversal. There's sort of fun character interactions that happen during all of this time. You know, and it kind of gives you a little bit of that flavor of existing in this time period. So I wouldn't say that it's that much when you really take the overall sort of time frame of the game. So anybody worried about it going to be all boat, nothing to worry about. So like, there's really nothing to worry about that there's no jump button. I know a lot of people have canceled their pre-order because there's no jump button. But trust me, you really don't miss it. And I loved the jump button, and I do not miss it even in the least.
That's interesting. Lionheart Kinson is wondering, are the slow motion combat moments seen in the trailers included in the actual game?
Lionheart, yes, they are.
Ah, is that just for like finishing kills or?
Yeah, it's placed periodically throughout different moves to kind of accentuate the sort of finish of them. So some of those moves are moves you can upgrade to. Other moves are actually things that you have right from the beginning.
Okay. I'm Ajar says, how big and wide are these areas to explore? There's a lot of questions about exploration in this game. Is it something like the recent Tomb Raider games? Can you go back to revisit old areas with a fast travel? How would you explain that?
Without getting too deep into the specific mechanics of it, it's definitely... it's no small world. I mean, it definitely feels like much larger than previous God of Wars. There's an encouragement to feel like if you see something over there, you should go check it out because you're going to be rewarded by actually discovering the world open up even more than you had imagined before. You know, I don't like to use comparisons to other games simply because I think a lot of people then immediately attach 100%, you're just making that game, and that's really not at all what we're doing. We're influenced by a lot of different games, but the reality is we're making a game that is very specific to what we want to make here.
Okay. I mean, talking about opening up the world a little bit, Eternal CMO is wondering if you can give an example of one of your favorite side activities. Is there one maybe small thing that you can point out as one of your favorite things to find off to the side?
I think my favorite one, I really don't want to give it away.
Okay.
Like, there's so many really cool things, things that are just kind of interesting ways to not only open up the world, but make it feel like you're more connected to it. So that feels like a crappy non-answer. But trust me, I think you will thank me when you play it, and it feels like you are discovering it for the first time. Nothing is worse than feeling like you're watching a movie that the trailer pretty much explained everything.
Yeah. Dim26 is wondering, are there optional bosses in the game?
Yes.
Interesting. All right. Corvo Otano says, are there some kind of collectibles that increase health still? Is that still around?
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Well, there we go. I mean, same as in the old games?
No.
Okay. Brigham94 is wondering, will Atreus scream something when Kratos dies, similar to Otacon from Metal Gear Solid?
Like, snake, snake!
Yeah, well, Atreus screams snake, I think is what he wants
actually,
to know.
Actually, he will just say snake, snake, and then, you know, David Hayter and Kiefer Sutherland will appear right next to you and give you the twin guns.
Does he scream something?
I don't know. Maybe.
Okay, all right. Hey, here's a silly question. Our time seeing the game, correct me if I'm wrong, it seems like Atreus said a certain word a lot, which I'd imagine is Swedish or whatever language he's actually speaking in the game. It sounds like Mista? What is that he's saying?
Oh, Leosta.
What does that mean?
It is ancient Norse for light.
Light?
Yeah.
Can you explain that?
Basically, the language in the game is used within magic. So not only is the written language, the runes themselves, they have kind of a power, but the speaking of the language actually is part of a trigger as well for the magic. So when Atreus is using his bow and actually using an arrow that has a magical property, he's actually calling out various words that kind of distinguish which magical property he's using.
Oh, that's interesting. It ties into gameplay. That's helpful. Disconnected from everything. I'm just curious. Do you remember Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, the classic Indiana Jones film?
That is a classic, yes. Indiana Jones, as George Lucas described it, it was Indiana Jones and the space aliens.
I'd argue like top four Indiana Jones films, honestly. But you remember that scene towards the end where Indiana Jones's hat flies off at the wedding and then Mutt Williams picks it up for a second? I'm just curious, disconnected from everything, what you thought of that scene?
Wow. Very reminiscent of Last Crusade.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I had a rough time with that movie. I don't want to say bad things about it, but yeah, that movie, I had a rough time about that.
Yeah, you're not treading new ground by saying that. Okay, so no thoughts on that scene in particular.
I'm not alone on this one.
This was surprising. It was one of the most popular questions, and it's directly up my alley. Slander Knight is wondering if they're going to be behind the scenes, like a behind the scenes making of video for the new God of War.
We haven't confirmed or denied anything at this point. I know that I had a lot of fun making those, so I would totally love to do another one of those.
Yeah, it's an interesting tradition with that series.
What you will.
I'm sorry, what's that?
I said, take from that what you will.
Okay. Olarin is wondering, how many of the original God of War development team and the original crew is working on this game? Do you have a rough headcount?
Now, this is a rough headcount, yeah. So I'm sure that everyone will take the answer extremely literally and call me out as being wrong.
25-30%.
I'm going to go with 20 to 40 people. There's a lot of people from the early parts of the franchise.
Even the first game?
Bring in some people, but a lot of people were still here. You know, this is a studio that I think people love working at, so they stay here for quite a long period of time.
Wow. Lenient Lasagna, great name. He's
wondering, Lasagna, nice.
How much do the Sony studios communicate with each other regarding development tips? Did you guys consult Naughty Dog on making like a companion character for Atreus?
Yeah, actually, we talked to all the different studios. Talked to the folks at Bend, all those people up at Guerrilla, the talented people at Guerrilla, and some of the people over at Naughty Dog as well. Like, I think that's the cool thing about being first party with Sony is we have access to some really smart, talented people who can tell us the pitfalls that they ran into when doing lots of things. It wasn't just the companion character, although that was really early conversations that we had with them that kind of gave us a good understanding of what we were getting into, which was much, much, much larger than we had thought. Even now, it was bigger than we had imagined.
Yeah. Then Tom was like, is wondering, who are your influences for cinematography throughout the game? Were there specific cinematographers or maybe films in general that you guys referenced a lot?
It's interesting. I used a sequence from Hard Boiled to sell people on the single shot camera. There is a sequence when Tequila and the other character whose name I can't remember are kind of, you know, getting in a firefight, going into, I believe it's a hospital, and it's a single shot following them through the hallways, going and shooting, and then the guy he's with is a cop, and the cop accidentally shoots another cop. And then they go into an elevator, still in a single shot, and that cop kind of goes through the process of realizing what he just did, that he just shot another cop. And, you know, they kind of go in the elevator all the way up to the floor that they're going to get to. He kind of, you know, starts to open up a little bit. Tequila shares, like, his past story about how he had done something similar, another mistake he had from his past. They kind of go out of the elevator and continue on. And the point of that was to kind of show them that you don't need cuts to kind of have dramatic arcs for characters. You don't have to constantly zoom in and cut and do the A shot, B shot. There are interesting ways, even in the heat of the moment, that you can get different framing with just clever camera work. And I kind of got a bunch of people on the team behind that, but it wasn't until I found this guy, Dori Arazi, who is our cinematographer, and you know, not only did he kind of get what I was talking about, he kind of wanted to take on the challenge, which is great. So I would say there are too numerous to name, I think, that I'm influenced by, but I think that particular sequence really helped solidify the sort of idea to the rest of the team.
Yeah, for sure. David Simpson is wondering, I'm sure you get this all the time, what was it like working with George Miller? What do you think you learned from that experience working with Mr. Miller that helped shape God of War?
Dr. Miller. It was amazing, right? The first time I met him, he was just in town meeting with a bunch of video game people. And I think they were going to leave that day. And it was just like a random like chance occurrence that they said, oh, you should just come in and hang out with him. And we ended up hanging out for like 2 or 3 hours just talking about movies. The first thing I told him was how he ruined me for flying with his short story in the Twilight Zone movie. Because that whole freaky shot of the gremlin eating the engine,
yeah.
And John Lithgow freaking out on the plane.
Oh, he's so good.
Me up for flying for a long time.
John Lithgow sweats so much in that film.
Yeah, I know, right? but yeah, he is an amazing influence. I think he's one of the few film people that I met that was genuinely still curious, right? Like I met a bunch of film people who were just like, you know, I understand games because I understand movies. Whereas he kind of had that sense of like, you know, my son loves to play games. I love to sit behind him and watch him play. But I really would love to understand more. He understands a tremendous amount about character and drama. And what I learned from him, I think I could have never learned in school. You know, I spent several years in a conference room with him off and on as I was going back and forth to Sydney. And I really do think, you know, this game, part of what made this game possible, I think, was the work that I did with him. The sort of eye-opening understanding of drama to realize, like, look, I don't understand anything. You know, working with him made me really realize that I got a lot of learning to do, which is awesome.
And just for context, you're working on, like, an early version of that Mad Max game?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. We had been working on something initially that was connecting all the stuff together. So it wasn't just the game. It was the game and the movies and all this stuff kind of connecting the pieces all around. So... we had written a treatment, and then I had started on kind of the outline and the early script of the game before we ended up kind of letting Avalanche go their own way on things. So
gotcha.
It was nice. It was a little bit of a bummer to not release something for a while, but I would not trade those experiences for anything.
I hope you took a lot of notes. Emad has a last question here asking, how are you feeling about the franchise, and will you direct the sequels? I know it's the last thing you want to be asked right now, but is there any chance you would come back and keep rolling with God of War?
I am feeling phenomenal about the franchise. I feel like the story that we told here is the beginning of a much longer arc, but it really is, again, chapter 2 of Kratos' life. I'm not going anywhere. Whether or not I'm going to direct a sequel, I think I still like the idea that we have different directors on each of these games. It brings a sort of fresh set of eyes, you know, almost like that fresh pair of legs of bringing somebody in late in the game. So I absolutely still support that, but I'm not going anywhere. I'm still going to be working on some great stuff here.
Awesome. Good to hear. Thank you so much for answering those questions. I mean, is there anything else you want to get off your chest? Anything you want to clear up before we let you go here?
Yeah, let me tell you something about the Oscars.
Yeah, please. No,
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. No, I have not. I think a PR person somewhere had a mild heart attack. I am just very excited to be done soon.
It's so soon, man. So soon you can sit back and watch those Twitch streams. It's going to be really satisfying for you, I'm sure.
Yes, yes, yes. I actually, you know, I can't wait to hear people talk about having played the game. You know, it's a very satisfying thing to actually be done with a 5-year journey and then to actually kind of hear people say hopefully good things about the game, but even bad things are, you know, helpful for the next game.
There we go. Well, Corey, thank you so much for your time, man. Really appreciate it. Thanks for helping out with the month
of
coverage here at Game Informer. And that's it. Thank you so much to everybody that sent in a question for Corey to answer here. I hope you guys learned something. If you did and you enjoyed it, we'd always appreciate it if you sent this podcast to a friend. If you're watching the video version, we'd love if you subscribe to the iTunes or Google Play version of the show, because we do a regular episode every Thursday covering future cover stories, games on the horizon. We have people that review games for Game Informer here talking about their experiences, interviews with developers. So please subscribe if you're not, and until next time, we'll see ya.